Hi, I'm Annette Richmond. Thanks for joining me for the Smarter Business Moves podcast. If content marketing is part of your growth strategy, head over to my new podcast, Content Marketing School, and visit contentmarketingschoolonline.com for resources. Now let's get on with the show. Hi, I'm Annette Richmond. Thank you for joining me for the Smarter Career and Business Moves podcast. My goal is always to inform, educate, and inspire. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are joining us from. I'm so excited to be here with Sarah, who I met, I guess over a year ago now through our mutual friend, Jillian Whitney, and you were on my show last year at this time. And I'm so excited to see you again, and your hair has grown and it's so lovely. So,
thank you.
So I'm Annette Richmond. This is the Smarter Career and Business Moves LinkedIn live show, then it'll be on my podcast. And Sarah, for people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So I have been a self-employed career coach for the last 20 years. So it'll be 20 years in July, actually. So I can't believe that it's been that long. And most recently, for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been specializing in LinkedIn coaching as well. So using my career coaching experience and my LinkedIn knowledge to just help people to develop their career using LinkedIn. That's what I do.
Well, that's very cool and brave and to the point. So
thank you.
So let's jump right in. I love this topic, the whole idea of using LinkedIn for job search and also career advancement. And, I always say that LinkedIn is our face to the business world, but unfortunately, so many people think of it as kind of a set it and forget it. They put up a barely skeleton profile, some titles and company names, maybe a paragraph in the about section, and that's pretty much it. And, as a former recruiter, I know that LinkedIn is kind of like Google for people. And so when you do that, it's unlikely anybody's going to find you in the first place. But if they do, you want to make sure, obviously, that your profile is solid, because that's kind of the foundation. So can you talk a little bit about kind of some of the mistakes that people make with their profile and how they might be able to fix a couple of them?
Yeah, sure. So I think, and actually I had a client this morning who and her profile is exactly that. So very basic with her name, really old photo, so like 10-15 years old, the photo, and really minimal information. And I kind of talked her through her profile and showed her some of the other things that LinkedIn can do. And she was absolutely amazed. She said she thought it was like a place where you uploaded your CV and that was about it. So I think it's come on massively in the time, particularly over the last few years, it's come on massively. But in terms of the profile, I think the important things to remember are that you're trying to attract that next role. So you need to write it in a way that's those headhunters or recruiters that are looking for you are going to find you for the role that you're looking for, which might not be the same as what you've been doing in the past. So thinking about things like the headline section, so underneath your name, using those 220 characters that you've got to talk about what it is you're looking to do next. So whether it's job titles, whether it's the industry, whether it's any particular key skills that are relevant for those words. So make sure that you've got them in there so that when a recruiter or a headhunter is searching for those keywords, it's going to pick them up right there from your headline. And it's just a good signpost as well to show people who are looking at your profile that have just come across it, the key things that you're looking to do next. So that's that part. I'd say use the cover video. So few people use this. So just behind your profile photo, you can upload a cover video. So you get 30 seconds there. It's a bit like a mini elevator pitch, really, where you can talk about what it is you're looking to do. So I think even though that feature's been there for probably 2 or 3 years now,
it's been a while, yeah.
It's been a while, but I still see so few of them actually being used. So I think it really gets the attention of people. And of course, if you're going to do that, then ideally you want to be adding subtitles. So you can use like an app like Clipchamp or something like that, where you can record your video, add your subtitles, and then add it on. So I'd say they're important in the top section there. Also the open to work. So again, I think people tend to think that they have to have that green banner that says open to work, but you don't. If you go into that section, you can add five job titles you're interested in, five locations, what kind of work you're looking for, if it's remote, hybrid, in the office. And then you can set it so that only recruiters can see that. So nobody else would know you're looking for work, but a recruiter would see that. And you can say you're immediately available. So recruiters are much more likely to contact you if you've got that set up. So I think from that top contact card section, those are the really important things, I think.
Yeah, I love that you said that about the open to work because people don't realize that they can just set it up so that recruiters know that they're looking without their boss, knowing that they're looking somehow. And, I know recruiters have told me, I'm sure they've told you, because as you say, so few people have them, that if you have one, you are really standing out. They are noticing you. But I do have a question because the people that I work with, I recommend that they put their contact information in the about section, and if they are obviously, looking kind of under the radar, to put an innocuous phrase like, always looking to connect with clients or colleagues or whatever. So what do you think about that? Do you think that's okay?
So adding contact, I think that's a personal thing. And I think maybe there's a difference here between a typical English person and typical American person. I think typically the people that I work with in England are a bit more reserved, don't necessarily want to put their contact details in there because they don't want to answer the phone to people. So I think it probably depends on your preference. I mean, you could set your contact details so that your phone number and your email is visible to everyone if you want to do it that way. And then at least you've got kind of one step for people to have to click on a button. But having said that, I know, having spoken to recruiters, lots of them do really like it if you put your phone number on there because or your email because they can contact you without using their credits. So the way that the recruiters work, they have a certain number of credits a month that they can message people. They get the credit back, I think, if the person responds to them. But if you've put your phone number on there, then they're going to love that because they don't have to use credit.
Well, see, I look at that from having been a recruiter, that if, if I look at somebody at that time, if I looked at somebody's profile and thought, well, they're kind of a maybe, but do I want to use my credit? If I saw their email address in their about section, then I would certainly contact them just to see. So, and again, it is different, in different parts of the world, different parts of the country as well. But it's just something, to think
It's
about.
definitely something to think about, yeah. And yeah, if you're someone that wants to be contacted, then give it a go. I guess the other thing is it is potentially opening yourself up to spam messages coming through. But I guess you need to kind of weigh it up for yourself, really, don't you, and decide if it's a risk you want to take.
Well, I also mention sometimes to people that, get an email just for that. And then,
Yeah,
they
that's a
don't
good
have to
idea. Yeah.
get. But anyway, to move on, because I want to talk to you about using it for job search. And I think people, as you said initially, people think of just putting their profile up there, maybe uploading their, CV to where recruiters are and putting the open to work. But how can they use it to actually accelerate their job search?
So what I would do to for people is to talk to them about what it is, what's the next job they want, or maybe even the one after that. And increasingly, that's what I'm seeing with people is that they're looking for a job now, but actually they're thinking about the one after. So what I always say to people is think about what that job title might be, and that can sometimes be difficult because the way that they're worded might not be how they're worded in kind of your eyes. So you need to do a little bit of research to start with to find the job title on LinkedIn because the job titles are predetermined, which might be frustrating, but also it does mean then that there are actually recruiters using those titles. So find the title that's kind of closest to what it is you want to do and use the search bar to type in that job title in quote marks, hit return, click on people, and that's going to show you everyone that's got that job title in their profile somewhere. So if you're not like totally happy with your profile yet, then I would probably suggest you put yourself in secretive and private mode. Then just start looking at those profiles of the people that are doing the job you want to do, and how did they get there? So what role were they doing before that? What skills have they got? What courses have they done? So just using that all for your research, really, to find those particular roles. You can, if you're searching for a common role, then there's obviously going to be thousands and thousands of people doing that. So I would say then just filter. So add in maybe first and second degree connections, perhaps from a particular location, maybe a particular industry, so that it narrows it down. And the second degree thing is really where the power is. So when you see a second degree connection, you'll normally have a note below it of who you've got in common. So maybe ask those people for introductions, try to get some kind of informational interviews booked in, and just try to build up those networks, really, with the people that are doing the roles that you want to do next. So that's kind of my best advice, really, is do that searching behind the scenes. Get your profile to a state where you want it to be, and then look at them again, because potentially once they've seen you've looked at them, they might look at you back, and that all helps with the kind of the algorithm and your ranking.
Yeah, you know, I love that. And I have never heard it put exactly that way, to go in and search for the job titles and look at what other people are doing. And I think that's great, because even if you have sort of the free membership, you can still, you know, do your research that way. So I love that. I love that. And, you know, do you have any suggestions specifically for like career changers for their LinkedIn profile to make themselves more, you know, relevant or desirable to someone in their new career, you know, the career they're targeting if they're switching over?
Yeah, so I think, so what I'm seeing a lot of at the moment is people who are wanting to move into roles that are either within an organization that is focused on sustainability, or sustainability roles within organizations. So, and I think it's really popular. Obviously, everybody wants to do that kind of role now, because it's, you know, it's great for the environment and all of that. And also in the UK, it's the number two most popular job on LinkedIn for 2023, as sustainability manager. So more and more people are moving into those roles. So if you don't have the skills and experience, what I would say to people then for that example would be to try and get some volunteering work. So look at local charities, local organisations that are focused on sustainability, and get some experience that way. You can then add that into either the volunteering section, or also you could add that into your experience section, the roles there. So you are getting those skills. And I have heard of lots of companies saying that they won't consider anybody that hasn't at least tried to do voluntary work in that sector before they get the role. So I think that's probably the best bet, is to try and get some voluntary work first. Build up your experience, build up your contacts, and you don't know where it will lead to. So, I mean, I can use my husband as an excellent example here. He got a job as a volunteer at a local museum, he was just kind of doing a bit of gardening work, a bit of reception work on a voluntary basis. And they had seen his Instagram account for another account that he supports, really liked his photos, asked him if he would start doing that for the museum. And they've actually offered him a job now. So he works there 2 days a week as their social media manager. So it's a really good example of how that can happen and translate into paid work.
Well, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that example, because I recommend that to people too, to volunteer. And then, you know, it's perfectly fine to put that on your LinkedIn profile, even on your resume, as long as you're noting that it's volunteer. I mean, I think that's a great way to do that. But thank you so much for sharing that story, because people, you know, they hear someone like me or even you say, and, you know, but when you hear that it actually worked for somebody, you know, it really, really makes a difference. So I just want to say hello to a few of our buddies who have joined us.
Oh, and there he is.
So nice to see you. Someone that I just recently met through Jillian. I meet so many cool people through Jillian. Yeah. And then I say hello to Sarah Clay, who I know, and she and Lauren are listening together. So thank you so much.
Oh, wow. They're together in America, are they? Is Sarah over there?
I don't know. Cool. Just sitting together somewhere.
Yeah, because Sarah's from London, Lauren's in Chicago, isn't she?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then also I want to say hi to my friend Kathy. She serves on the board with me, and she also saying volunteer work is a great recommendation, especially in the area of sustainability. So I love to hear that. So Anyway, so turning back to career advancement. Now, my experience, and even when I worked in corporate myself, people go in, they think if I put my head down and I just keep working and I do a good job that like people know and I'm going to be rewarded. And that is just so not true, right? I mean, it is so not true. But how can people use LinkedIn to advance their career? Yeah, I mean, my first thought is like thought leadership, but what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, so aside from obviously you do the research that I've already mentioned into people that are doing what you already want to do and look at those courses. I think other than that, though, there is LinkedIn Learning is an excellent resource. If you do have LinkedIn Premium, LinkedIn Learning is really good, and particularly around career paths. They have, again, going back to sustainability, so I know there's one that I looked at the other day, and it walks you through a quite a long program with all different courses that you can do to build up your skills in that area. So they have that for all of the top 10 jobs for that particular year, so that's really good. I would say you mentioned about being a thought leader as well, so yes, yeah, so starting to probably engage to start with, so engage on other people's posts, so find the areas that you're interested in, so strategically start engaging in people's content. So if it was sustainability, finding a few key themes that you're interested in that area, going using the search bar, clicking on posts, finding the posts, engaging on those. So even if they're people you're not connected to, and especially if they're not people you're connected to, because you're being seen then by people outside of your direct network. So people will start to see your name popping up. And of course, every time you comment or like on someone's post, that goes out to some of your connections as well. So they'll see that you're commenting on other people's posts. So you're just starting to build up that awareness of you and your subject matter. So you're building up that kind of influencer type role, I guess. I know not the best idea, sorry, not the best word. I know lots of people don't like that, but you're just building up that credibility of yourself in that particular area. So I would say do that to start with, engaging other people's, and then you can start writing your own posts. So whether it's a post or an article or a newsletter, but I think the main thing to think when you're starting to write content, and even when you're established, you quite often get posts that get no comments, and you just have to carry on, because you can be kind of rest assured that people will be seeing it. So many people say to me, oh, I saw your post on this, but they don't like to comment for whatever reason. So I think keep going at that. Then you might get invited to comment on some of the new collaborative articles, for instance, that LinkedIn are pushing out at the moment. So it's like AI generated text, and then you can be invited to add your comments onto those. So there's lots of things that LinkedIn are doing at the moment to try to get people to collaborate and write a bit more. So I think just take advantage of those opportunities.
I love that you were talking about all of that. And I always think of it as being, it's not really, you hear the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I think it's really, it's who knows you. And that is a great way. But can you talk a little bit about like if you do, people do want to start to comment, kind of what they should think about when they're commenting, because so many people are like, oh, great post or love it or something. Can you share a little bit about how to comment more effectively?
Yeah, so I think LinkedIn always recommends that you use 5 words or more, because then it thinks that you're trying to generate a conversation, so it kind of rewards you a bit for that. But I would say just try to have a thoughtful response. So sometimes you might just think, yes, I agree, but elaborate if you can. So what exactly was it you agreed with? What could you talk about a bit further? Have you been to an event that's, relevant to that thing? Just try to get your views across in that. Sometimes that could be confrontational, sometimes it could be an agreement, whichever way works for you and whatever you're comfortable with. But anything that is going to generate a conversation. So if you could put something in that maybe has a question back to the author, hopefully they would respond back to you. So you get that whole conversation thing going. The other thing to look for, which I always recommend to my clients, is over on the right-hand side of the LinkedIn page, there's a LinkedIn news section. So the news editors go through every day and list the things that are most topical on LinkedIn on that day. So go into those, see if there's something there that relates to your industry or your specialism, and add a comment on there. Particularly there, if you do something quite substantial, they will often then feature that in one of their boxes, and then your network will be notified that you've been featured by the LinkedIn news team. So I think that's a really useful thing to look at every day to see what's being talked about there.
Yeah, great tip. I love that. So, One of the things too, when people say, "Oh my goodness, I don't have the time. I'm busy, I'm working, and I don't have the time to be on LinkedIn 24/7 commenting or whatever I'm doing." So, what's a strategy like? How often, how much time do people need to, really commit just to make a difference for themselves?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many stats on this at the moment. And, I used to say, 15 minutes a day at the beginning of the day is great. Obviously, I have LinkedIn on all day, so I am commenting here and there most of the day. But, I saw a report yesterday that said that you should be commenting for 3 hours a day. I mean, that's not realistic. So, most people haven't got the time to do that. So, yeah, I would stick with the 15 to 30 minutes. And I understand the argument about not having time, but I think if it's something that you want to do to advance your career, you need to put the time in. It's not going to come if you don't do
Whoa, 3 hours a day. That's scary. I
it.
feel like I'm on LinkedIn a lot, but my goodness, 3 hours
I
a day.
know.
Who has that
I know.
time, what are some steps that someone might take if they've been commenting for a while and they want to just kind of put their toe in and do some sharing of their own? What are a couple of ways maybe that they could start doing that?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the ways, if you write quite a decent comment to someone's post, it will often come up and say, "Why don't you create this as a post yourself?" So you could use that as a prompt. So click on that button, it will create a post for you, and then you could just go in and alter that a little bit to make it maybe a bit longer, add a picture, that kind of thing. So particularly if it's a post that's gone down really well and you've commented on it, then that's quite a good topic. So I would do that and make sure that you add some hashtags that are relevant to that particular topic. So 3 to 5 is what the recommendation is normally. I did actually speak to John Asperian recently about this, about hashtags, and he said that on one of my posts I had hashtag job search and hashtag jobs, and he thought that might affect the algorithm negatively because they were two big hashtags. So I think you could think too much about this, but I think it's worth just thinking about the hashtags, maybe having one big hashtag that's got lots of followers and then one smaller one. So you can look for hashtags by just in the search bar type in the hashtag key and then your hashtag, and it will show you how many followers that particular hashtag has. So maybe do a bit of research first of all, just to see what kind of thing people are using. So that's one way. Another way, if you're not that confident, maybe if you're in a group, you could add a post in a group first of all. Ask people what they thought of your post. Maybe ask a couple of people if they wouldn't mind engaging with it if they thought it was appropriate. I'm not suggesting that you ask everyone to comment all the time, but if you're nervous the first time, you might have a couple of people that would be happy to go in and give it a bit of a nudge along.
Yeah, that's such a great point, and I hadn't thought about posting it in a group first. And I think people are nervous to go out and post, because they feel like people are judging them. People might, what are people going to think? And I think two things. One of them being that most people, they're not thinking about you; they're thinking about themselves. If I'm looking at posts on LinkedIn, I'm not going, "Oh, well, I don't know about that." I'm thinking about my posts and if I'm doing a good job. And secondly, I think for the most part, people on the platform are rooting for you, so they're like, "Oh, that if you put in an effort and you're sharing something that's meaningful or interesting, that you don't have to be, Shakespeare."
No, exactly. I think that's true. I think most people are there to support you. I do think lots of people don't engage because they're worried for whatever reason that their employer might see that they've liked something. So that must mean they're looking for a job. And it's a shame that people still think that. But yeah, unfortunately, that is what happens. And I think you do just have to kind of keep at it. It is, I always say to people, it's a long game, LinkedIn. You're not going to get results instantly, but it is worth it in the end. It does start to build up traction over time.
So I just want to bring up that Paul has said to remember camel case on hashtags to make them accessible, and that's where the first letter of each word is capitalized,
That's
correct?
right.
And I'm glad that you made that comment, first because it is important, but secondly because it reminds me to mention when you talked about putting up the cover video, the profile video, to put the captions on it. And people sometimes, and if they're doing any kind of video, they're like, "Oh, I don't want to take the time," or whatever. But the thing is, not only are you making it inclusive, but you're making it better for yourself because so many people are looking at LinkedIn, like at work, with the sound off.
Absolutely. I think they say 85% of people don't listen to sound on LinkedIn. So it's a massive, massive number of people you're cutting out. And the other reason for subtitles, which I've discovered recently, is if you're using something like Subly, for instance, which is what I use for most of my videos, you've then got that text as a transcript. So what I've started to do now is download that and use that as a blog. So you're multi-using your content all the time. So you've got video with subtitles, and then you use that for a blog post.
Well, that is so smart. See, I take my blog posts and I turn them into video scripts, but that's like even faster. So I love that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a question that's kind of a big question. And I'm going to ask you for like the mistake people make, but I think there's a lot of mistakes people make when they're network on LinkedIn. One of the most famous ones is, you know, the pitch slap, where, you know, they connect and pitch you.
Yeah.
But can you just share a few things that, you know, if someone's new to LinkedIn, a few things that they like should not do?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things that I've been noticing a lot more recently is people not having their photos visible. So, and I don't know if it's a default setting that's changed, but I think particularly if you're job seeking, you really want your photo visible to everyone. You get more people looking at your profile if you've got your photo. So if you go over on the right hand side to edit your public profile and URL, when you're on your profile page, you can see there what's switched on, and just make sure photos are visible to everybody, because you will get more interest if that's the case. So yeah, I would say that. The pitch slapping, yeah, I mean, that is, it's typical. I mean, what I do now is I look at the people that have invited me to connect. If there's someone that says they're going to, you know, 100 times my income in 15 minutes or something, then I don't bother accepting them because I know there's going to be a sales pitch. So yeah, I'm quite selective on who I'll accept as a connection. So I would recommend that to everyone as well. Have a look at people that are trying to connect with you. Make sure they're the kind of person that you want to connect with. If you do connect with them and then they send you sales messages and you're not interested, you can disconnect from them. So if you go into the My Network tab and over onto the connections on the left, you can then just click on the three dots and remove that person. So they don't get notified. They will just disappear from your page.
Well, you know, I'm sure you're a believer in this, but sending a personalized connection request when you want to connect. So can you talk a little bit about how to maybe put that together?
Yeah. So what I would always do again is have a look at them, try to find out something about them. Why is it you want to connect, and give them a reason? So, you know, we've got mutual connections, or I'm trying to work in this area, or, you know, I think you've got a service I might be interested in at some point. So something that kind of shows them that they've looked at your profile. So that's what I would start with. Maybe follow them first. If you're not overly confident in sending a connection request, send them, you know, just click to follow them, because then you will start to see some of their content, particularly if you then click their bell. So you can click the bell for anyone that you're connected to or that you follow. Mm-hmm. And that means you can get notified of all of their posts. So maybe if you don't want to send a connection request straight away, follow them, start to engage on their content. They might in the end send you a connection request. You never know.
That's true. And I want to say, excuse me, as I'm glancing off to the side, we are right now streaming to the event, to my profile, and also to Sarah's profile.
So I'm just
looking around a bit to make sure that
everything's going
running smoothly. So, you know, we are kind of at the end of our time, and we've talked about a lot. And I've learned a few things from you, which is always
great.
And do you have any sort of final thoughts, something, you know, that we haven't talked about, I haven't asked you, that you would want to share, you think is important to share, and then also how people can connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think for job seekers, particularly, skills is a massive area that's getting more and more importance on LinkedIn. So there's a big drive at LinkedIn for recruiters to start recruiting on a skills basis rather than on an education basis. So skills are increasingly important. You can still only have up to 50 skills on your skills section, but what you can do now is you can add up to 5 of your top skills on the about section. So that looks quite neat. When you look at someone's profile now, you see the first 4 lines of their about statement, and then you'll see their top 5 skills with a little star by them. So it's quite graphical, it kind of grabs your attention. And you can also add 5 skills for each of your roles as well. So they all come from that top 50 list. But they're just visible in different places. But what you'll see when you're applying for jobs now is that recruiters are now and they used to have this years ago, but they took it away, but it's back again now. So at the right at the top of the role, it will have a link to the top 10 skills for that role. So when you're looking at a job description, click on that, you'll see the top role, top 10 skills. It will show you how many you've got. If you haven't got some of them, there'll be a plus button. So if you have got those skills, but you've just not written them down yet, click on the plus button and that will then add them onto your skills profile. And they get notified. So when you click to apply, the recruiter will be told how many of the top 10 skills you've got. So it's quite important to pay attention to that. So I think that's my last bit of advice.
I had no idea. I'm going to have to check that out. So how can people connect with you? Obviously, you know, on LinkedIn, if they want to connect with you, they better tell you why.
Exactly. Tell me why. Yeah. Yeah. So on LinkedIn, I've got a YouTube channel now, but I've only got like 24 people subscribed to it at the moment. I'm just starting that. But yeah, LinkedIn is the best way. I've got it logged in all day. So yeah. And it's set up so that anyone can message me as well. So that's all great.
Well, thank you so much for joining me again. It's such a treat to chat with you. Every time I chat with you, it's so so fun for me. So it was
thank you. It's really good to talk to you again.
And thank you to everyone who's been with us, hanging out with us. We appreciate you too. And have a great rest of your day. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Smarter Career and Business Moves podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe.